Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast, the number one dog training podcast in the world. Thank you so much for all the support on iTunes and Spotify and Google Play and everywhere else that you guys listen to this podcast. This is an incredible podcast with an individual who basically got a backyard breeding German Shepherd who's not a dog person, kind of afraid of the dog, and doesn't really know where to start. So we go over literally everything from foundation to training and relationship and all that stuff. A great podcast. I hope you guys enjoy it. I know you will. Netherlands, I'm going to be to your country this fall. I'm very excited. And Nashville, Tennessee, I'm going to be doing a seminar there this fall. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. I know I enjoyed it, and talk to you next time. Bye. What's going on?
Okay. So first of all, I just wanted to tell you, you probably hear this a lot, but I've been watching a lot of your videos, and they are really helping me out a lot. So thank you so much for your service. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure everybody feels like that. But I wanted to tell you that I have a situation where I just bought a puppy. Mm-hmm. He's a German Shepherd. I got it from a man here in Florida. He's not a breeder. He just happened to have a German Shepherd dog. His girlfriend has a German Shepherd. They had puppies, and he was selling them online. He tells me that, you know, the German, I don't know what this even means, but he just says that they're a lineage of four generations American. I have no idea what that means. But he just pretty much gave me some ideas about the temperament of both of the dogs. And, he says the dogs are, you know, like the female is, you know, pretty chill and stuff like that. Not very, you know, like forthcoming with her temperament, but, you know, the male is, you know, protective and more guardish, but, you know, he's okay, you know. So I got the dog because I wanted it to be a twofold, like a house pet, like a, you know, mm-hmm. pet. And also, you know, just to have him as a guard, you know, like maybe just be a protective animal as well. So, you know, I did some research into it, and I was like, well, okay, I think I could probably, you know, get an animal like this. I'm a pretty active female, and, you know, maybe we could bond and I could, you know, be active with him and all of this stuff. So what's happening is that I got the puppy at 8 weeks. The puppy now should be, what, like 11 weeks or so, more or less, okay. Almost 12. I'm this has really stressed me out a lot in the last 3 weeks. Like, my life I need my life back, because I've been very hyper-focused on this animal, and I'm very into fitness, and I have not worked out. I feel very stressed out. Mm. Also, I have a situation at home where it's not conducive. Like, my brother, he's 40, you know, but he has mental illness. So, like, he doesn't reason or rationalize as you and I would, for instance. But, you know, he's not aggressive or anything like that. He's just terrified of the German Shepherd because he thinks that the dog will kill him in the future. So he's been staying in his room. I've had to take him to the hospital, like, when the dog got here because he had insomnia. He wasn't sleeping, so he almost went into a psychosis. You know, he stays in the room a lot of the time. He wears jeans when he comes out so the dog doesn't, you know, scratch him and stuff like that. You know, but, like, he's – me and him are having a lot of conflict and fights and, you know my mother's like also giving me a lot of pushback. So I'm very stressed out with like the family situation and having to train Iggy, which that's his name. And so when I have that going on, like my life, I feel like I need to have to, I need some boundaries with my life and his life. And I it's just kind of been out of control a little bit for me, like in the sense that I don't know what I'm doing. I've been doing some stuff wrong since I got him, and I'm learning now. He's a lot better now. You know, it's going to be 3 weeks today, and you know, he's being more responsive to me. But the thing is, I got a trainer like a week ago, and he gave me some helpful tips on potty training. And he kind of, because when I first got him, okay, for like 2 weeks, we just didn't do much as far as like training or anything. I was kind of stressed out, and I had some friends visiting, so I didn't have that much time to like really put some proper structure with the dog for the first 2 weeks. And so for the last 1 week, it has been very, you know, more solid, and he's getting it. He's picking it up. He's understanding the routine and everything. So what I got going on now is that I'm he's going into the crate. I'm crate training him. He's going potty outside. He's still having some accidents inside. I'm doing a lot of like positive reinforcement with treats and stuff. I'm taking him out for walks, you know, outside. You know, but it's just been a week. So also, what else? Go ahead.
What are the, let's focus on the biggest issues you want to work on now. I think that's the most beneficial thing to do, especially with our time. Let's talk about maybe some of the biggest issues you're having right now so we can work through those.
Honestly, the biggest issues I'm having are three. I want to train. Okay. Number one, I need to get to more structure and not feel like I'm neglecting. Maybe it's just all in my head, but I want to dedicate proper time with him, but I need my own personal life back. But I need some boundaries without, again, Tom, forgive me, I'm very ignorant, but I need to feel like I want to give him the proper time so he doesn't feel like I'm neglecting him. And also like that he does not turn on me, because one of the things is that like I noticed with him is that he was getting aggressive with me, and I'm sure it was all me. I'm learning. So he was scratching me a lot and, you know, like biting me with his teeth, not scratching me with his nails, biting me. And it wasn't just puppy biting. I could tell in his face, like his demeanor, that like he hates me, or he hated me, or he was not liking me, you know. And the thing is, like, I'm diabetic too. I do not want a bunch of like stuff on my skin that is going to, you know, like leave wounds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I can't have that.
Yeah. So let's go back a little bit to what you said. The number one thing is, because you combined two there. Okay. So you combined the biting with the relationship. So go back to number one. So what would you say your number, you said there's three things.
I want our relationship to be better. I want him to, it's getting better, but I wanted to make it solid. I'm putting in the time. I don't mind putting in time with him right now, but I have to get some space for myself too, because I'm kind of getting burnt out.
Okay.
So I don't know how to manage all of that. I need help.
Okay.
Maybe if you just have some
sure
advice to give me, because I need my life back. Like, sure, I haven't worked out. Fitness is a very big thing for me. Plus I'm diabetic. I need to take care of myself.
Sure.
So for me, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So the relationship with him, I want to build it, but I need some advice on how to take care of myself. And then, also, like, I just want some advice on equipment, tools, and if you know any trainers here that you would recommend. I don't know if you do or not.
I don't.
I'm no problem. And then lastly, how could I engage my brother? He's opening up a little bit more, but he really has changed. My brother has opened up more because he sees that the dog is more well-behaved and more controlled because I'm training him. But if you have any advice on that, if you don't, no problem. And then also I wanted to ask you about the trainer that I have.
Mm-hmm.
If you think it's reasonable for me, I don't know if I want to work with him anymore because the things that he told me to do to Iggy, I noticed that it made him more aggressive towards me and it was not helping. Okay. And I was intuitively thinking like, I'm doing this with him, but it's not making his behavior better. I don't know if because maybe he was pent up and then I'm doing that to him. I don't know. Like,
sure.
He was telling me to, because he says, oh, well, he, you know, he's feisty. He's more of an alpha German shepherd. So he was telling me to hold him, you know, like submissive pose when he's trying to dominate me and like get him on his back towards me, you know, to like, and, you know, like don't, I press him up against my body and, you know, tell him just put him in a submissive position. And I didn't like doing that. I noticed that does not work with him. Like he's still, you know, so I just advise like on that. And also he was telling me to put like vinegar in his nose when he goes, you know, accidents in the house. And I noticed that this that worked with him. Either put my finger in his mouth when he's, you know, aggressively biting me. Again, that does not work. Like, and I was just like, I don't want to have this. And correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I felt like those aggressive maneuvers or snap his nose when he's doing something was not working with him. And I was just wondering if that is, am I doing the right thing by not doing those things? Because I noticed that he's not responding.
Mm-hmm.
He responds when I treat him nicely only.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So let's go through it. So it'll be, so there's four things. There's structure, equipment, your brother, and your trainer. Yeah?
Structure, equipment, the trainer, and my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll start with the first thing, structure. So how to regain some of your life back and how to hopefully give you an opportunity to live a less stressful life. And it's part of, so it's a schedule. So you have an 11-week-old German Shepherd puppy. And it doesn't matter, to be honest, it doesn't matter what puppy you have. It doesn't matter if it's a Shih Tzu, Mastiff, German Shepherd puppy. None of that matters right now. It's really about your schedule. So your structure is going to be predicated off of your schedule. Because I can give you a schedule for the dog, but if you say, well, that doesn't work for me because of my work or whatever, then that's irrelevant. So it's really up to you to figure out a realistic and fair schedule for both of you guys in order to be successful. So my suggestion would be, like with my puppy, for an example, when I got him, it was a lot of crate training just because he's a puppy. So if I'm not watching him at that moment, like a baby, like leaving a baby in the bath or leaving a baby on the changing table, like you have to be on them all the time in order for them to stay safe. That's your job. It's the same thing with a puppy. You give a puppy free range of your home, it's the same exact thing. It's only a matter of time before they get into something or they make a mistake or they do something that can harm themselves or, you know, best case scenario, they make you mad, yeah. Right? So,
exactly.
So it's going to be structure predicated off your time. So what that looks like is crate time and training time and then just kind of downtime. So that's really up to you. I can't give you a schedule because I don't know your Monday through Sunday's routines, your work schedules, etc. So you have to kind of make that up on your own. But the reality is the dog should be, as you're potty training, going outside for potty training. And then as you, throughout the day, you're working on obedience and you're putting him back in the crate when you're not working with him. So it's really that simple. When you're not training with him and you're not there with him and giving him attention at this age, he should be in his crate. Because
can I ask you
sure?
A quick question? I'm sorry, just to clarify, because I do work from home. However, like I'm, you know, I work very hard at the computer, so I don't have time to like every 30 minutes take him out. Maybe realistically, mm-hmm. every 1.5 to 2 hours, I can do that. But if I'm at home, I haven't been leaving him in the crate while I work from home. He's just kind of hangs around me, you know, around the vicinity, but he still has some accidents from time to time. Should I still just put him back in the crate when I'm at work and not training with him or not potty training? Should I just at home, just like while I'm working, I mean, put him just back in the crate?
Correct. So it's going to go, again, ask yourself, if you're not able to give the dog your attention, he's in the crate.
Okay. Now, one question on that. Is he going to harbor any resentment towards me for doing that?
Doesn't matter. Because if you let him out of the crate, let's say you're working, he goes and rips up your favorite pair of shoes. He goes and harasses your brother. He goes and pees and poops on your favorite rug. He goes and rips your couch up. He goes and eats something that's deadly for him. He goes and, I mean, I can keep going, but it doesn't, it doesn't matter. It's like with kids. It's like, oh, my son is running around with a knife and I took it away and he's mad. Doesn't matter.
Okay. But, so you suggest definitely if I'm not engaging with him at all,
put
him in the crate.
Yeah. It's more about if you're not able to watch at this age without you don't have anything. So to me, this is a brand new puppy and it is, but at this age, yeah, he's here. If you're not watching him and you're able to keep him successful, then yeah, he should be in his crate.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Go ahead.
The caveat to that is introducing the crate before you put him into the crate. So it's not linked with mom has to go work, because that's where a lot of dog owners get into trouble is, okay. And I talk about this often, if you're only using the crate as a punishment or as a, hey, you have to go in here because I have to go work or take a shower or run to the office or whatever, then that's going to create that resentment. That's going to create that, I don't want to go in here. But if you use the crate in the beginning and the way that I call it is crate conditioning. So before you put them in the crate, because you got to go work for an hour and a half, you have to make it successful for him. So that means taking food and saying, Iggy, crate, and you're throwing a piece of food in and he tramples in there excited, eager, motivated, grabs a piece of food and he gets paid in there all the time. He eats in there, he drinks in there, the crate's open. That's the good place, right? So let's say, hey, it's Saturday, you're going back to work on Monday, right? And it's great that you say an hour and a half increments is like it's a long thing, and that's a wonderful thing, because a lot of people have to leave for 8 hours at least. So you have a really big advantage here. So my point is, I say it doesn't matter if your dog likes or resents you for the crate, but there's context to that to make sure that you're able to introduce the crate as a positive experience for the dog. It doesn't always mean that your dog is going to run in there and go, I'm excited to be in here. Your dog is likely going to want to be outside of the crate with you. That's just the reality of it, right? You drop your kid off to daycare and they want to hang out with you instead. Well, of course you do, but I have to go to work and pay bills unless we're going to be homeless. So this is what has to happen. So with dogs, it's very similar. You're trying to acclimate the dog to the crate well before you have to actually put them in there for a longer period of time so they're more comfortable with it. But what a lot of dog owners do is they get the crate only when they have to put the dog in there to go do something. So it's a very forceful thing. But to be clear, when I tell my dog to go in his crate, he fights me a little bit still, depending on the context, depending on how tired he is, right? So I put my dog in the crate after long walks, after long training sessions, when he's eating his three meals a day. And so there's this fairness that has to be blended in with crate training your dog. So let's say you clock in work at 8 o'clock on your desk. Well, if you wake up early or, you know, if you, let's say like a perfect scenario for you would be, and again, I don't know what your life is set up, so forgive me if this isn't 100% applicable, but what I would be doing is saying, okay, I have to clock in at 8. I'm going to get up at 6 and I'm going to go for a walk, get the pees and poops out. When I come back for a walk after about a half an hour, I'm going to do 15 minutes of training, right? So we're going to do downs, places, sits, stays, etc. We're just working on training. We're working on obedience. We're working on developing a better relationship, a better communication pathway, more structure, sit, etc. Teaching him things. And then maybe at 7 o'clock, after an hour of getting that going, you put him in the crate to eat his breakfast. You go and you work out. You're done working out, take a shower, get dressed, let him back out 15 minutes before work. You play with him, you let him pee and poop, whatever he needs to do, you put him back into the crate. So, and again, that's a very loose schedule. I'm just saying that's the ideal thing that you would do is in the morning, give him a long physical walk. And by long for an 11-week-old puppy, it would be like 15, 20 minutes. you come back and you work on some basic threshold training, you work on some basic obedience, you work on food luring, things like that. And then you put him into his crate to eat breakfast as you go and work out and do your thing. And then when you're done with that, right before work, you let him back out to go potty. And then you put him back into the crate, maybe with a bone or a frozen Kong with peanut butter. You do your hour and a half to 2 hours of work. And then you break him out and you do the same thing. You pee and poop, potty break, exercise, a little bit of obedience, back in the crate when you have to go back to work. And that's going to set you up for this structure. So it's totally normal and applicable and warranted and fair to do that, because once you have that free time, you're going to let him out and you're going to work him. You're going to say, okay, let's go work, let's go play. And then hopefully, because at his age, he should be pretty tired after those small segments, he goes into the crate, he whines for maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and then after that, he falls asleep, because that's what puppies do. They sleep more than anything right now. So that would be an ideal way to create that structure so you can get your life back, where you have an hour to work out before work, you know, whatever that looks like. Or, and if you want to wake up earlier, then you'd have more time. It just depends, you know, again, on your life. But
yeah, okay. I really, this is actually what I was looking for. I just wanted to clarify here real quick, because I do start work at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that I need to work out before I need to do anything with him. So I would wake up early, like 4 or 5 maybe, and start working out.
Sure.
Because that's ideally what I need to do for myself. Sure. First. And then, but that's what I wanted to know about, like, how do I, you know, like, engage with him? So like, right, just go for a long walk, like 20 minutes, and then do like 15 minutes of obedience with him. And then, because the one thing I have not been doing, you suggest feed him and give him water in the crate always at this point.
I am definitely feeding him in the crate.
Okay.
Because again, like, you want, like, right now when I put my food bowl in my, and this is for all my dogs, except for my bigger, but right now when I put food in my dog bowl, my dog runs to the crate. Boom, they hit okay. The crate. They're like, oh, it's time to eat.
Yeah, got it.
The water, okay, so I was... the water right now, you're going to actually monitor.
Yeah.
Because you're only going to give him a little bit of water at a time, so that way you could get on a good schedule.
Should I leave the water in the crate or no?
No, I would just, you can, yes, but just monitor it. So like, let's say, again, it depends on how long he's going to be there, but I would monitor it. So a lot of times I won't, what I'll do is I'll kind of have this schedule where, I actually have it on my Instagram, I think under Burley, okay. Like on my highlights.
Yeah.
So you can look at the schedule that I created. It's sure. Kind of a hard schedule, but for the first 2 weeks, that's what I did with him, and he was yeah. completely potty trained. But give him a little bit of water in the crate. That way you can monitor it, because a lot of people say my dog's still peeing and pooping, but you're giving them unlimited water, so of course you're not able to manage it.
Got it.
So,
okay.
Yeah, a little bit of water. Perfect. Yeah.
Okay, no problem. And then, so then I will go ahead and put him, I feed him and give him the water and put him in the crate. Then so pretty much whenever I'm taking him out, I should really just be walking him a little bit, giving some training, and then putting him back in the crate.
Yeah.
Engaging with him and playing with him. And so he sees that as a positive thing when he comes out.
Yeah, for sure. And you should just be doing that anyway. Right now is the time to do that. Right now is the development, the sponge like type of stuff. So it would be pretty simple, where you would get him out, work on your basics. So your sit, your place, your heel, your stay, things like that, using the leash on that. And we'll talk about equipment in a minute. But that's what you would be doing. So you're doing physical exercise, because that dogs need both. All dogs have two different tanks. They have a mental tank and they have a physical tank, and you have to exhaust both of those things in order for the dog to really be depleted, I guess, and fulfilled.
So
go for a nice walk and then some training.
I need a clarification on one thing, as far as, because I'm breaking the I take a like 5 or 7 treats a day, and then I break them to tiny pieces and I give them that, and I feel like I shouldn't be doing that, because maybe it might upset his stomach. Do you just feed food and treats, or do you mainly do food as treats? Because I see you in the videos, but I'm not sure
what
you're doing.
Yeah, it's really discretionary on you. If you're feeding your dog kibble, then I would just be using your kibble for treats.
Only? And no, I can give him some treats here and there.
Not only. I would just say if you're, you know, if you're, if you want to give them higher value treats, then you can use single ingredient like beef liver. Like, that's why I like beef liver, is because it's single ingredient. It's, you know, it's not going to upset your dog's stomach unless they're allergic to beef, but that's, you know, obviously irrelevant.
That's
what I would do.
So pretty much I can mainly give him like food kibble, but also give him like, you know, like single ingredient high value treats as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like beef liver. Like, that's what I would do. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. All right. And okay. So I'm good on that.
Cool. So equipment, what are you using right now?
I have like one of those nylon leash. I think that's what they're called. Mm-hmm. And, I put them on the martingale, I think it's called, mm-hmm. collar.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it off for a couple of days because I don't know. He was really, like I said, really.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Upset or irritable. I don't know. I wasn't sure if it was a collar because it looked kind of big, but I just put it back on him today. It looks like it's fitting him better, and he was fine with it. So I just have that and a nylon leash, and I got a long leash in the house for him.
Yeah.
While he's in the house.
Oh, that sounds good. That's exactly what I would have. Just a training leash and then your martingale, which mm-hmm. is a collar with a little bit of action, which is perfect for a puppy, and mm-hmm. a long line for freedom, and, you know, maybe even introducing recall. And all of that sounds good for right now. Yep.
Okay. And what's recall? Just calling him and him engaging with me?
Yeah. Recall is getting the dog back to you on command.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We're working on that.
Yeah. So long line, Iggy come. If he comes to you, you animate yourself and back up. I just actually mm-hmm. posted a YouTube video on this, but... you animate yourself and you back up. Good come. You pay the dog when he gets there, and then you break him. You give him a release.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll watch that video.
Yeah, it's at the end. Kind of just go over uh-huh. if you're struggling with your dog to listen outside. Mm-hmm. Here's how to make it better. Yeah.
Okay.
So and as far as like
equipment like that will help me with maximizing, you know, like long-term you know, like that you suggest, or toys or anything like for him that you think that you would recommend?
I like at this age, a lot of people like this, this company called Nylabone, NYLABONE. You get it's just a chew toy. My dog didn't take to it the way I hoped he did, but you could also do like puppy Kongs. So they're like tiny little Kongs you can fill with peanut butter and freeze it. So that's what I would do, especially like in the morning or in the afternoon where you have like a long stint of work and you don't want to hit him whining and you wanted to work on something. You can just get like four little puppy Kongs and then fill them with peanut butter. And then throughout the day, you can just drop a Kong in there, a frozen Kong in there, and he'll work on that, hopefully.
In the crate, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I got some hooves. You know what those are?
No.
Like the cow hooves, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And yep.
Is that the same thing?
No. The hooves right now are probably too big for him and his puppy teeth. I would go something a little bit softer, like a Kong. Like it's just hard rubber. And mm-hmm. it also like lets him get some peanut butter too. So there's like a little reward. And it doesn't have to be a lot. Just like take a little swipe, put it in there, do it four times, put it in the freezer. And that way throughout the day, you just drop them in there for them. And it's a very black and white thing. Usually dogs either like, I don't care about that, and it stays there. And then the other mm-hmm. side is they love it and they work on it and everything is good while you're working.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Yep. So that's what I would recommend. Yep. And then, next is your brother. What is your goal? Here's my perspective on this. I know that you said that your brother is trying to deal with your puppy, and your puppy's you're also trying to deal with your puppy, and your puppy's yours, and your brother's not like, God, this isn't my dog. So, I think personally, I would just, it's too early to really say what's going to happen with this dog and how he's going to behave because he's still so young. But I think I wouldn't be worried about unless your brother wants to be involved in some of the training. I think it would be more about you focusing on you and Iggy and your puppy than anything else. I wouldn't be trying to force anything with your brother. I would just be working on, here are some basic ground rules, brother. If you decide to be around this dog, or if this dog is around you, here's how we're training. Here's the commands. And I think right now it's basically like developing a young baby with somebody who really doesn't want to be around a young baby. It really doesn't matter right now.
Yeah. And do you think, you might not know, but I just need to ask, because I am really worried about this. Like, because I know that his breed has issues with, I don't want to say this because I don't know what I'm saying, but I know that they are prone to, can be aggressive. And my brother's extremely worried about that he's going to bite him. I mean, from your personal experience, like if a dog is trained properly and is a German Shepherd, how likely are they to have like behavioral issues where they actually bite somebody in the house?
Well, it's
or myself. I'm worried about that too, because I saw him, you know, like, I don't know. I'm just worried about that, actually.
Sure. It's fair. It's tough to say. That's like looking at a 4-year-old and going, do you think this baby's going to go to Harvard or jail? It's like, I have no idea. I have no idea. You know, it's really tough to say. But two things matter the most generally is genetics, which you already said. I'm loosely using breeder. It's not really a breeder. But this person is basically a backyard breeder, said, hey, this dog has good genes, has good genetics, but you can't see mom. So it's like, okay, so that matters for sure, but it doesn't always guarantee that. So that does matter. But then outside of that would be your training, like just like with kids. Again, like if you aren't good, and that's subjective, but again, at the end of the day, if you have kids that are running around Walmart knocking everything off the shelves and not listening and telling you to F off, that's a parenting problem, right? That's something that didn't happen in the beginning, in the foundation of the child likely. So it's the same thing with dogs. Is it's tough to say how your dog is going to be with an adult when they're so young, but your job is to develop the dog and develop the puppy, because right now you're training your future dog. You're not training your puppy. A lot of people have the mental, I think the mentality that, oh, I'm training this cute little puppy, but the reality is you're not. You're training the dog in the future. That's what you're doing. So
yeah,
I can't tell you whether or not your dog's gonna like your brother or not, because it sounds like your brother's afraid of your dog and your brother doesn't really like the puppy. So your job,
he only likes him when he's nice to him.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. That's what. Yeah, sure. It's like I only want to have a puppy when they're not being a puppy. It's like, okay,
exactly.
So it's like you just want it to be a stuffed animal then, and that's not realistic. So,
right.
Yeah,
I get it. Okay, well that helps, and then. With the trainer, I mean, I only had one session with him, but I don't know if I should ask him if he could give me some of the refund back, because I don't know if I.
So let me go over it. So dog training is huge, right? It's like a restaurant. There's a bazillion of them in every city. They all are different. Some of them are franchises. Some of them are family owned. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. I mean, it's literally an open book. Unfortunately for dog owners, they typically don't look at it like that. They're just like, oh, this dog training company, everything's going to be great, right? And it's not always the case, right? It's you. Sometimes you can have very bad experiences, and it's not fun, you know, for you or your dog. And I think it's important for you as a dog owner to know when to call it off. And I don't think, like, from a professional training standpoint, a refund is not probably the route to go unless you've invested a lot of money and haven't gotten anything. It's more about kind of like having a bad meal somewhere and being like, I'm not going to come here again. Like, you know what I mean? So for me, let me go over the things that you were saying. So the pinning on the ground and sticking your fingers down the dog's throat and all that stuff is something I wouldn't do, just because I like to just be more clear and assertive with just my leash. Your leash is it's plugging in your electric guitar to the amp to amplify your voice. That's all it is. Your leash is your ability to communicate with your dog. And if you have a good leave it, and I don't know if you watch my puppy videos, but I actually...
I'm doing that right now.
Okay, good. I started. Because there is a puppy video on leave it. So for me, my dog right now is almost 9 months, but he acts like a 2-month-old dog. He's very juvenile. He's very immature because he's a large breed dog. So my point is, he learned leave it really early in his life because he got into everything. And my objective and my goal isn't for this dog, like, you wouldn't want Iggy to not bite on things and things like that. Or I shouldn't say that. Of course, you don't want him to do that. But it's not realistic for you to say, hey, 11-week-old puppy, stop chewing on stuff. Your job is to communicate with the puppy what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. And this is where you put your leash on your dog in your house to go over what is appropriate and what's not. Likely what's happening is Iggy is off leash, running around your home with the zoomies, biting on everything, terrorizing, yipping, barking, grabbing, looking like a wild coyote, and you're reacting the exact way a prey would, where you're going, ah, no, and you're screaming, and you're high-pitched, and you're telling the dog no, but the dog is just walking all over you and laughing at you, essentially. So you want to put your leash on the dog and start working on these things assertively. So if we start getting zoomies, yeah, I'm okay with that. The moment he starts chewing on you and biting you because he's playing, because that's what puppies do, they have no idea that you don't have fur and you have just skin. Your job is to teach them, leave it, and then correct the dog with your leash to make sure that he knows that that's wrong. And if you do it right, like any other behavior we teach a dog, the leave it will be sustainable on leash, off leash, with equipment or not. When you say leave it, that's what happens. So it's the same equivalent to somebody that lets their dog off leash. The dog doesn't know recall, doesn't know come. You've never worked on it. They're completely off leash, and you're yelling and screaming your dog's name and telling them to come back and complaining that the dog's not coming back. But the reality is your dog doesn't know the behavior, and you just put your dog into an off-leash situation, which is very, very, very difficult for any dog. And so everything that you're having problems with right now is pretty normal. I want you to just realize 20,000 feet of elevation here, looking down at this, all the external problems you're having are just because your dog doesn't have the skill sets to not do them yet. And you haven't taught your dog what's appropriate and what's not.
Yeah. I wanted to clarify on that, cause I have him on a leash inside the house, but I think what I'm doing is, like, I'm not grabbing his leash when I'm just saying, leave. He's learned understanding leave it and off. He's understanding that, but I'm not grabbing the leash and attentively, you know, putting my body, my whole, you know, energy towards it properly. Cause sometimes I'm tired. I'm on the couch or in my back porch area on a small chair, and he likes to climb on me and start putting his teeth and everything. And I think I need to just grab his leash. And I think that's what I'm not doing correctly and disciplining him like that.
Correct. It's like watching your kid run around and do things you don't like, but your mouth, you don't say anything.
I'm just saying, stop. Yeah. And not actually physically. Okay.
Yeah. So dogs don't understand English. So when you're saying stop, it doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
And in fact, he could be like, oh, cheering me on.
I wanted to, I think this is very big for me. I'm trying to understand this concept better. When I give him positive praise for, what I've been doing is I'm giving him a treat when he stops doing a behavior I don't want. Like I say, Iggy, no. Like, let's say he's nipping my ankles, for example. I say no, or I say off or whatever. And he stops doing it. What I'm doing is I go, oh, good boy, good Iggy. And then I give him a treat. Is that correct for me to do?
When he stops?
Yes.
Yes and no. You don't have to give him a treat. You can just tell him good off, good leave it. So if you say Iggy, leave it, and he stops what he's doing, you say good, leave it. You don't have to pay him each time. You can. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just your timing is very crucial. So if your dog is ankle biting you or your puppy and you say, leave it, and the dog leaves it, and then you run to the kitchen to grab a piece of food and bring it back, he has no idea why he's getting a treat for that. So just pay him when he does it. So Iggy, leave it, and he spits your foot out or your toy out or your shoe out, and you say, yes, good, leave it. And if you have food, great, but if you don't worry about it.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was worried about, the timing, because I was like, I don't want him to think that, oh, mom says it's okay to bite her ankles. That's why she gave me, or whatever, you know, like a treat. That's what I was worried about.
Yeah, yeah. So I would just put the leash on and work on it, because it's going to be consistent. Like if you get Iggy out right now, you're likely going to have consistent. You're gonna let him run around your house. He's going to get crazy and he's going to start doing things you don't like, and you can work on it. It's very easy. It's extremely easy, because it's pretty guaranteed that your dog is going to do those things. So you can just put the leash on, say, hey, we're going to work on this today. And that's it.
Yeah. And you know, like the zoomies you were talking about, I noticed his pattern is like he gets that right before he goes to sleep. I don't know if that's normal in dogs, but do you have any advice on how I could calm him down, like when he has one of those? Or
has one, just, the zoomies?
Know? Yeah.
No.
And then he starts.
Okay, no, it's a combination. It's a puppy. That's what they do. It's like.
Yeah.
That they're excited. So is there a way to calm down an 11-week-old puppy? No, they're puppies. So that's what they do. You have to ride that wave out because they're puppies. You can't tell a puppy not to be a puppy. You're going to lose your mind. But with that being said, there's also outletting. So if you're in your home and your dog is ripping around your home going 100 miles per hour,
yeah,
then be like, okay, this dog needs to burn some energy. Let's go do this outside.
Okay.
Just like with kids. Right?
Yeah.
Kid brings in a baseball bat and a baseball and starts whacking around the house. What do? You go, nope, let's go outside because that's where we play. That simple.
Gotcha.
You're not going to tell a kid not to play, right? Or a puppy. You're going to say, hey, this is where you do that actually.
Got it. Yeah. So just play with him when I see him doing that. Just redirect him to play.
Yeah. Or just like know that your puppy has an exuberant amount of energy to burn. And if your dog runs around your house with zoomies, I would ignore it unless it's like that's just normal. I wouldn't worry about it unless they're knocking over everything in your house. I mean, that's a different story, but they're just being puppies. That's what they do.
Okay, got it. Okay. And I wanted to ask you about, like, I don't know if I should do this or not, but what is your take on like having him neutered in the future?
It's a good question. If I fix my dogs, it's going to be after two.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that you can, with males, you want to neuter them after they've physically have matured. Just because if you fix them, they don't have the hormones and testosterone to physically mature. So you're castrating them basically before puberty, which is not ideal. From that's just my perspective. That's exactly what you're doing. Before they hit sexual maturity, you're castrating them so they can't, and they're basically staying a puppy, which they don't have an opportunity to develop. So that's really a subjective discretionary option. That's just my opinion. If you were to say, Tom, what do you do? That's what I do. My Borble, again, he should grow up to nears 200 pounds. He's 8 months old. He's 100 pounds now. He's got a lot of room to grow. He's going to continue to grow. If I castrated him now, his growth plates are still open. He still has room to grow. His bones aren't going to get as dense and as strong as they need to be. So it's stunting that. but there is some benefits to castrating a male dog before they hit maturity and on a behavioral level, especially if you don't have the experience to handle an intact male, because intact males develop with a ton of more if you castrate a male, they don't have testosterone, right? So that aggression, that intensity, everything that comes with that goes away. And so again, that's like good and bad. So you just have to, so that's really up to you.
I see.
Yeah.
Got it. I wanted to ask you, because I'm thinking, because I think you have an on-site training place, but I've been thinking that, instead of doing the training here at home, I was thinking that, do you think it's more successful to take a dog into an on-training facility? You think that's more reinforcing to the dog?
I think in your situation, after talking to you, training with somebody in person would definitely be beneficial, because you need training. Like you have a puppy and you're not confident with what to do, and your dog is going to walk all over you, and it's likely going to become very, very frustrating for you and your dog in the future. So my recommendation is to get in front of a coach. That's what trainers are. Good dog trainers, in my opinion, especially my company, we're coaches. So we train the owner how to, any dog trainer in the world should be able to get a dog to listen to them within an hour. But that's what a dog trainer is supposed to do. But really where the skill sets, and in my opinion, the quality comes in, is training you as the owner. And I think that that's what you need to know, because I think you're going to have a lot of questions moving forward. And I think hiring a trainer that focuses on training you and educating you on how to handle your dog is going to be the most sustainable thing to be successful.
Okay. That helps me to understand. Yeah. That I would want to do that, I think. Okay. And I think I just have a couple more questions and I'm done. I saw a video you did with grooming, but I would like to know if you groom your dogs at home, because I want to spend all that money. Like you take it to the groomer. Okay.
Yep. Like every week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't afford that right now. I just can't.
But. Yeah. It's probably every other week, but it seems like every week they just went, but my Borble specifically, like he gets really smelly. So.
Yeah,
he gets a bath.
So, okay, so you just
could do it yourself, but I mean, I'm just being honest. If you ask me, like, I hire somebody to do it.
Yeah, I would like to just bathe them a little bit here, but I was just gonna ask, if you had any tips on getting. I put some water in his feet. He didn't like it, obviously. So just tips on how to acclimate him to that.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be, to me, I would be, yeah, start brushing him now, start putting him in the bath now. You don't want to bathe the dog like too much, to be honest with you, because I think, so what my dogs typically do is they get brushed every week, they get a bath, my Borble gets a bath every other week, and it's just basically a rinse down, because he gets smelly, because he's gross. But you don't want to rinse too much, especially with puppies, but I would just like get them used to the bath, get them used to water. You know, if you get like a little kiddie pool outside, or just putting them in your sink, or putting them in your bathtub or whatever, and just getting him acclimated to getting groomed would be a good idea.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. That's what I wanted to do. I just want to rinse him down. I don't want to give him a full bath just cause he stinks and stuff, and it's Florida. So,
yep.
I wanted to ask you about this, because I see you use a prong collar lots. Do you that's actually my last question. Like, any equipment moving forward from puppy to adulthood that you recommend for me and Iggy, like, to be successful? I see that you are very, adamant about the right equipment. So I want to make sure that I have tools, that can help me in the future.
Yeah, the prong collar is just one of those things that helps you really define your communication, and it depends on the dog. Like my Borble, my Mastiff right now is getting to a point where he doesn't feel any corrections from the leash, so we could move to a prong collar for him, because I'm not the only one who walks him, right? My wife walks him, my in-laws walk him, and they're not me, so they may need a little bit of extra support, a little bit of extra system to power steer that big beast around. So your prong collar really comes into play at the right time. It's really a an education thing for the dog. It could come as early as 6 months or never. It just depends on the dog. Yeah.
So as early as 6 months?
You could, but it just depends on what you're doing. Yeah,
right, on what you're doing and how the dog's behaving.
Yeah.
And if he's, you know, engaging with you or not, if he's not really feeling it on a regular, like, collar and leash or whatever, or mm-hmm. not, yeah, behaving like how he should, I guess.
Yeah, okay. And it's communication too. Like, let's say if you have a dog that's yanking you down and pulling everywhere and choking themselves out, then you move to a prong because it's not safe for them to be on that flat collar, that martingale, or that harness. So let's say if you're on a harness, you're on a Gentileader, you're on whatever, and your dog is pulling you around, or your dog is on a slip or a martingale or a flat and they're choking themselves out, that's not safe. Mm-hmm. You move to mm-hmm. the prong collar to make it safer.
Okay. And then how about a leash? Do you think I'm okay with the leash, or do you recommend sure. A more upgraded, you know, better results type of leash?
Well, I like the leashes that we have in our store. Those are my favorite.
The one in your store. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Well, Tom, thank you so much for everything. You've answered, I think,
cool.
Majority of my questions, and I really appreciate your service again. And have a great day.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Have a good day. You too.
You too. Thanks. Right, bye.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.